Hello, this is Dee with the Vermilion County News for March 30th, 2020. We'll begin today's reading with the front page story entitled Voting Interests. Voters have numerous issues they care about, by Jennifer Bailey. To say 18-year-old Rihanna Aulis is looking forward to voting in her first presidential election is an understatement. Her excitement is contagious in talking with her and hearing how much she follows national politics. Illinois residents, or voters nationally, could see her name on a ballot and Aulis as a politician herself one day. "That's what I'm hoping for," Aulis said, smiling. The Oakwood High School senior, who is taking dual credit courses at Danville Area Community College, will graduate in May. She plans to attend Indiana State University with a major in political science and minor in pre-law. She said she'll see where her interests take her. Aulis acknowledges many 18-year-olds probably are not like her and could care less about the election this year. In addition to being busy with school, she also works part-time at Joanne Fabrics and Crafts in Champaign. She said she grew up in a family of half-super Republican and half-super Democrat. "It's a great time," she said, about family get-togethers. This is the seventh part of a Pulse of the Voters project of talking to local residents on voting and issues important to them. The Commercial News and other CNHI newspapers have been collaborating, working on the project. These interviews were conducted in early March, prior to the severity of the coronavirus outbreak in the United States. Aulis said she has favored former 2020 presidential candidate U.S. Representative Tulsi Gabbard, Democrat of Hawaii, who's perfectly in the middle and right for me, but also likes Bernie Sanders, saying that she agrees with a lot of his stances in helping future generations. "He's trying to relate to the younger generations," she said, adding that the country also has to keep evolving. "We have a good chance," she said, about the country electing a Democratic president. "It's still pretty far away. We have to wait for it to settle down. Issues important to Aulis include climate change and human rights." She also looks at how the candidate acts. "You're the president, so you should be showing what the younger generation should be acting like. You're the leader, so lead them. I think it's important for them to have a good stance, not to be a bad person," she said. "I know so many people that don't vote," she added. She feels it's citizens' duty to vote, especially if you want change. She registers to vote as soon as she could. Aulis said she does her homework in seeing who endorses who, and in November she said she'll support the Democratic nominee. 31-year-old Joe Sargent, who leans left but considers himself an independent, says, "For me, it's extremely important that we get a Democratic president in office due to the fact that we have the Supreme Court nominations most likely coming up, and it would be completely unprecedented to have one president appoint three people to the Supreme Court. I do believe that's the most not talked about but important issue that's going on to come up in the next 4 years. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is getting up there in age. It would be insane to see a primarily conservative Supreme Court with no hope for swaying votes towards the more liberal agenda." Sargent said, "I definitely favor Bernie, more progressive policies, but I do think the party will have to unite under a more moderate candidate. That's just going to bring in the most amount of votes, or voters, I think, with someone like Joe Biden. And one of the biggest reasons that President Donald Trump won the election is because a group of people who once voted for Obama decided to vote for Trump. So finding some way to bring those people back over would be a big, big help." Sargent entered the military when he was uncertain what to do after graduating from Jamaica High School. He is now studying computer programming at DAC and helps at his parents' Sonny's Corner Cafe and Pizzeria in Sidell. "I come from a pretty conservative family," he said, talking about his grandparents and how they voted in the past. Sargent remembers voting first for former President Barack Obama in 2008. Sargent was a Green Party voter for 4 years, not wanting to vote for Trump or Hillary Clinton, but now realizes even more so how his vote was for Trump. While the presidential races get talked about most, he also follows the U.S. House and Senate races, such as for Dick Durbin's seat. Issues important to Sargent, law enforcement reform, legalization of marijuana on a federal level, would go a long way to reduce the amount of people in prison for it, reduce problems we have with the opioid crisis, and give an avenue for veterans to seek alternative treatment for things like post-traumatic stress disorder and injuries. And overall, it's a policy that also could do a great benefit in terms of tax revenue and things along those lines. That's one of my major sticking points, and why I'm so hesitant to commit a final vote to Joe Biden at the moment, he said earlier this month. He added that it's not so much a disappointment in a candidate not making it to the end, as he's disappointed in the way candidates stayed in to make sure another didn't make it to the end. Some candidates stayed in to do as much damage as possible, he said. Sargent's thoughts on Trump's impeachment: the system allows the people investigating the president to also confer with the president and set up the rules with the president and establish essentially the entire process of how it's going to work while working with the president. That's why there's distrust in the process. When you had everyone in the Senate that was on the Republican side essentially saying they already made up their mind before the trial had even started or evidence had been presented, is a staggering look at how ineffective our checks and balances are apparently in our system entirely, he added. Sargent said his overall political mood is, I would say, I'm currently a little less than enthused. I don't enjoy parroting anything Donald Trump says, but it seems like the establishment of the Democratic Party is not making the process as authentic as it should be, and a repeat of 2016 will 100% give Donald Trump another 4 years. I'm a little apathetic. I just foresee a very messy Democratic convention, and maybe the destruction of the Democratic Party as we know it, once that finally happens. 75-year-old Carolyn Wands doesn't consider herself Republican or Democrat either, but her values lean toward Republican. She remembers her parents voting and instilling the importance of that right in her. She said voting became more important to her when she became a parent herself, thinking about the world her children would live in. I always vote for the person, she said. She said Trump has flaws, but he's also done a good job and means well. Bernie Sanders scares me, she said. Wands is against abortions, and she wants immigrants to come into the United States the right way. Another issue important to her is the environment. I'm so tired of the fighting, she said, about the political parties. In Illinois, she said the 2020 census and the state continuing to lose population should be a concern to all of us. She said her overall political view is that it just seems like everything is kind of a zoo. She's anxious to see who will be the Democratic presidential nominee. Lloyd Randall, 65, has been waiting for the same. He said of his political mood, many of the candidates did represent my core values and concern as it related to debt reduction, health care, job creation, and the safety of our country. Campaigns have become extremely toxic and divisive, something I feel that is diluting democracy. The issues important to me are closing the income gap, job creation for low to moderate families, tax equity, criminal justice reform, and health care. When it comes to protecting our borders, we cannot discourage individuals of diverse backgrounds from entering our country. We are indeed a nation of immigrants, and we should live up to our values. Lastly, it is important for Illinois legislators on both sides to put the residents of Illinois first. He says voting is a privilege in this great nation. Our next article is entitled Hoopston Votes on COVID-19 Resolution by Carol Hicks. Hoopston. The Hoopston City Council called an emergency meeting Friday to discuss approving a resolution declaring a state of emergency regarding the COVID-19 virus and to begin implementing Stage 3 of the COVID-19 City Plan. Stage 1 and 2 of the plan were previously put in place by Mayor Bill Crusenberry earlier this month. Word was received Thursday by the City of Hoopston that Watsika had its first case of COVID-19 diagnosed in Iroquois County. Since Watsika is less than 40 miles away, according to the Stage 3 plan, an emergency meeting was called. Mayor Pro Tem Bill Goodwine called for a motion on the resolution. None was made. Many of the council members felt Hoopston was not at that stage to implement Stage 3 and didn't want to overreact to the Watsika diagnoses, especially since the person diagnosed was quarantined at home. A second case was diagnosed Friday, EMA Director Brad Hardcastle told the council. It, COVID-19, spreads quickly, Hardcastle said. It's going to be here eventually. Stage 3 of the COVID-19 are guidelines, according to Hardcastle, and not all of the plan would be put in place at once. The resolution makes it possible for EMA to order the supplies necessary should a COVID-19 case be diagnosed in Hoopston, and for the city to be reimbursed for its purchases. Hardcastle further stated there was a chain of command that the municipality had to go through to get the supplies needed to protect the first responders. EMA had to make a list and give it to the Vermilion County. Vermilion County would then order the supplies, along with their own, through the state of Illinois. The resolution had to be approved for EMA to place the order, Hardcastle said. Otherwise, supplies cannot be ordered. Alderman Alex Humes said he would like to see medical person on the committee with Hardcastle, Crusenberry, Chief Jim DeWitt, and Fire Chief Joel Bird. Bird stated they do get daily email from the health department with updates. Still, Humes felt a medical person was needed on the committee to round it out. Hoopston does not have any supplies that could be used during a COVID-19 outbreak, according to Bird, DeWitt, and Hardcastle. Nothing was mentioned as to whether or not Carl Hospital in Hoopston was prepared in the event that COVID-19 cases were diagnosed in Hoopston, and nothing was listed in the Stage 3 plan mentioning hospital preparedness. City Attorney Dave Wesner stated his opinion to the council before a motion was made. Do you wait until you have it and scramble to get equipment, or do you prepare? Alderman Carl Ankenbrand finally made a motion, seconded by Alderman Robin Lawson. The resolution declaring a state of emergency regarding COVID-19 was passed 6-1, with Alderman Chad Yaden voting no. Besides ordering supplies such as masks, gloves, and other equipment, the police department is looking at an intercom at a cost of approximately $1,400 in the event the building was totally shut down, rather than a phone system that would cost more. An intercom could be used going forward, DeWitt said. It was noted there would be no curfew set at this time for Hoopston residents. Crusenberry could implement that if the need arises, Goodwine said. Everything would remain the same except the COVID-19 committee has permission to buy the equipment needed to be prepared for a COVID-19 outbreak. In other council business, the budget meeting was postponed until a later date. The next Hoopston Council meeting will be Tuesday, April 7th, 2020 at 7 p.m. Our next article is entitled Healthcare, Immigration, and Heartland Votes by Bill Ketter, CNHI News Service. Healthcare-dominated political dialogue leading up to the coronavirus crisis this month, and if voters in the nation's heartland are an accurate yardstick, the struggle over the best way to provide it will escalate on the road to November's election. Voters differ widely on how to ensure accessible and affordable quality care. That's the sense based on interviews with scores of voters by CNHI newspapers in the Midwest, Rust Belt and Southern states over the last 3 months for the news group periodic Pulse of the Voters 2020 election project. We should not be doing away with a plan that provides millions of Americans with solid health insurance, said Doris Conyers, 76, a retired school teacher and administrator from Webb City, Missouri. Janet Lord, 56, of Daisytown, Pennsylvania, said she loathes the concept of government-run health care, expressing confidence in the ingenuity of America's private medical system. "That's how America works," said Lord, an Air Force veteran. "That's what's the best thing about America. We're the solution finders." Clara Page of Palestine, Texas, leans heavily toward the progressive approach. "Healthcare is the biggest issue facing voters," she said. "Cost and quality both cause concern, as does the availability of emergency room treatment. Healthcare should be available to all, regardless of whether people have insurance." Janet Beebe of Rapid City, Michigan, a stay-at-home mom, said home sheltering orders during the coronavirus crisis underscore the need for affordable child care. She said the latest data shows monthly child care costs in the United States average between $800 and $1,200. "We've had one of the best health care systems out there," she said, "but it has flaws." The Affordable Care Act, commonly known as Obamacare, remains center stage as the presidential and congressional campaigns wobble amidst the coronavirus calamity. CNHI Papers asked voters a series of issue questions in an unscientific online survey from February 14th to March 10th, just before the coronavirus outbreak began to dominate American life. Healthcare rated among the most important issue facing the country. More than 46% of the respondents favored repeal and replacement of Obamacare over reform and expansion of it. That embrace of the Republican position on health care ran contrary to the 2018 midterm elections, when Democrats capitalized on President Donald Trump's resistance to Obamacare, gaining 41 seats to become the majority party in the U.S. House. Democrat presidential candidates have proposed aggressive expansion of health care to cover the 30 million Americans who the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report currently do not have health insurance. Trump favors repeal and replacement of Obamacare, but promises to retain its most popular feature, protections for pre-existing medical conditions. Democrats insist Republicans want to do away with the provision. It currently covers an estimated 52 million Americans under the age of 65, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation. Immigration most important. While health care rated high among issues in the CNHI online survey, immigration polled as the most important problem facing the country. Voter interviews reflected the passions of those who seek tight immigrant entry controls and those who prefer relaxed restrictions on refugees. Maynard Lewis Sr., 62, of Terre Haute, Indiana, said he considers himself a Democrat, but he's voted for every Republican nominee for president since Ronald Reagan. He plans to cast his ballot a second time for Trump, in part because of his hardline immigration policies. He said he supports securing the U.S.-Mexican border to prevent illegal entry into the country. He said opposition is the result of people leaning toward a one-world government concept. But he added, Mr. Trump has gotten in their way. That attitude doesn't sit well with Carol Lynn King of Joplin. She said the building of a border wall is a slap in the face to every person who has immigrated to America over the years. As a nation of immigrants, there is a calling upon us to act generously toward those who come to us, fleeing from oppression and seeking safety, and not throw up walls and separate families. King said America must shelter and protect those who have nowhere else to turn. Swing states in play. Trump appears to remain popular in rural cities and towns of the solidly red states in Middle America. More for his policies on immigration, economic programs, and guns than his impromptu governance style and peppery tweets. Yet national polls show the four crucial swing states, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, are in play 7 months before the next election. In 2016, they each went for Trump, giving him the margin he needed to win the Electoral College vote. It is all but official former Vice President Joe Biden will be the Democratic presidential candidate. He ran up a 300-plus delegate lead over Senator Bernie Sanders before the coronavirus pandemic delayed spring primaries. Biden said he's working hard to put the four industrial states in his camp this time, appealing directly to blue-collar and farmland voters that deserted the Democrats in 2016. Kimberly Eaton of Middleburg, Pennsylvania, said she's a progressive Democrat who is disappointed with Sanders' fading campaign. She will vote for Biden, but he had better take notice of what the Berners want of him. No straddling the line on the subjects of health care or climate. Getting out the vote. Democrats are counting on the throngs of young voters who support Sanders to bring energy to Biden's campaign. Many sat on their hands when Sanders lost the Democratic presidential nomination to Hillary Clinton 4 years ago. Lark Jankowicz is a high school senior in the village of Kingsley in rural northwest Michigan. She's eligible to vote for the first time, and yet she's not sure she will do so. She's not fond of any of the candidates, including Trump. Free college tops her issues list. A lot of my friends and I have that conversation about how much free college could help, said Jankowicz. It's scary thinking about having to be an actual adult. In contrast, 86-year-old L.O. Spray of Woodward, Oklahoma, considers voting a patriotic duty. He switched his resignation from Democrat to Republican in 2016 to vote for Trump, but has since re-enrolled as a Democrat in anticipation of voting for Biden. His reason? The state of the nation is not good. We're in the worst shape we've ever been in, said Spray. We're split, divided, we're in a bad way. People really need to pay attention to what's going on and need to get out the vote. Patrick Lewis, 63, a retired civil engineer from Effingham, Illinois, said he's been a conservative Republican all his life and is also unhappy with the country's direction. With the election of Donald Trump, this country has become very polarized along political, religious, socioeconomic, and ethnic lines, he said. Sadly, he has used his position to grant people permission to disparage and insult others, which is detrimental to our country and our democracy. Denise Hand of Cullman, Alabama, dismissed criticism of Trump while waiting for Tommy Tuberville, the former Auburn football coach, to make a local campaign appearance in his bid for the Republican U.S. Senate nomination in Alabama. Hand said she wasn't all that interested in politics until Trump ran for president as a non-politician. He was speaking exactly the way I felt about all the issues going on in America, she said. I'm sick of politicians. She added, I don't think the media will ever stop being against him. They started off with Russia, then it was the Brett Kavanaugh Supreme Court nomination, and then they bashed him about the borders. No other president has stood up and done exactly what he said he was going to do. Not just the White House. William Kahn, 37, is a public school teacher and a Democrat in rural Whitley County, Kentucky. He noted voters will also pick 435 members of the U.S. House and 35 members of the Senate in November. Among those on the ballot in Kentucky is Republican Majority Leader Senator Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell has had over 35 years in the Senate, said Kahn, and we still have some of the poorest countries in the U.S. Amy McGrath, a former Marine fighter pilot, is expected to win the Democratic Senate primary, delayed from May 19th to June 23rd, for the right to face McConnell. She's already raised more than $10 million toward that end. Gary Rogers and Sherry Lambert of Chickasaw, Oklahoma, are on the opposite sides of the political divide. They are heartland examples of cleaved voter attitudes. Rogers is pastor of the Grand Assembly of God Church. He holds dear Trump's pro-life stance, his attendance at the National Day of Prayer, and his support of the Christian faith. Lambert shares the same faith as Rogers, but believes the president's actions don't line up with Christian values. Her response to Christians who support Trump is, "You do? He puts kids in cages, and he doesn't care, and he takes Meals on Wheels away from the elderly, and he doesn't care. He does all these things that are anti-Jesus, and you don't care. That scares me." We'll now turn to our obituaries. The first is for V. Josephine Joe Lyons, 81, of Covington, Indiana. Died on Thursday, March 26th, 2020, in National Park Medical Center, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Davis Smith Funeral Home in Hot Springs, Arkansas, is assisting the family, and a private family service will be held at a later date. Joseph Lee Joe Man Martin, 55, passed away at 1:05 Indiana time Friday, March 27th, 2020, at the Waters in Covington. Private graveside rites will be at Sunset Cemetery in Danville. The family will gather privately at Robinson Chapel in Catlin. Memorials in Joe's memory to WorkSource in Danville. John Lee Fetters, 71, of Washington, Illinois, passed away Tuesday, March 24, 2020, at his home in Washington after a short battle with pancreatic cancer. Cremation rites have been accorded and no services are scheduled. Memorial contributions can be made in John's honor to the National Kidney Foundation or Illinois Cancer Care Foundation. Helen Louise Hayes Kinder, 101, of Catlin, passed away peacefully at noon on Tuesday, March 24, 2020, at Hawthorne Inn in Danville. A memorial service to celebrate the life of a devoted daughter, wife, mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother will be announced at a future date. Interment will be in Oak Ridge Cemetery in Catlin alongside Ira George. Alice V. McFadden, 89, formerly of Danville, passed away March 25, 2020, at the Villas of Hollybrook in Morton, Illinois. A private, family-only celebration of life will be Monday, March 30th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville, Illinois, 61834. Robbie Ketcherside will officiate. Burial will follow at Floral Hill Cemetery in Hoopston. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made in her memory to Lakeview College of Nursing Alumni Association, 903 North Logan Avenue, Danville, Illinois, 61832. Doyne Richard McMahon, age 79, of Plant City, Florida, passed away March 16, 2020. Services will be held at a later date in Plant City, Florida. And now we'll read the article by Sherry Askren from United Way, entitled, Start a Journal to Help During the Pandemic. Hello, everyone. We are in the middle of history being made, like it or not. I want to remember all that is happening day by day. I personally want to be better prepared should anything like this happen again. I have written in the past on being financially prepared for an emergency. Dave Ramsey tells us to have $1,000 in an emergency fund before paying off our debts, because an emergency will happen, not if it happens. He will then tell you to have 3 to 6 months of household expenses saved up in case of a loss of a job or an illness. If we all did these things, we wouldn't be as freaked out during this time of this pandemic. I have also written on having an emergency supply of food, water, and essentials in your home always. We were given a warning, and we were able to get to the stores, wiping them out in a panic, unfortunately. But what if you weren't given that opportunity? Where would you be now? Our lives are full of hidden gems of knowledge and insight, and the most recent events in our lives contain the most useful gems of all. They have the largest impact on what we are doing right now and possibly what we need to change in the future. So if this situation we're living in should ever occur again, we are better prepared financially, mentally, and essentially. A journal lets you be honest about what is happening. If you're angry, write it down. If you're scared, write it down. This has been Dee with the Vermilion County News for March 30th, 2020. I hope you have a great day, and I look forward to reading with you again soon. Stay well, stay safe.